infrastructure and how that will come forward. Next is the proposed site allocations that I mentioned earlier, Staffordstone, Nosingham Woods Eaves, as well as the station gateway. The two employment sites, North of Stafford and at Ladford Fields. Two proposed gypsy sites, because we have published earlier this year a gypsy needs assessment, and so those two sites actually fully meet the government's requirements in terms of gypsies, which is important to make sure that we can do that. The Stafford and Stone countryside enhancement areas, in order to deliver recreation biodiversity and meet some of the climate change response. And then 19 proposed local green spaces, which are the equivalent of green belt, and they're mainly identified at Stafford and Stone. What I'm now going to do is just very briefly just show you the list of policies that will occur and be presented in each chapter. So you have the list of economic policies there about protecting employment land, providing for the rural communities through the recognised industrial estates, home working and small scale development, the town centres, and then supporting tourism and our agricultural sectors, as well as the canals. Next is the housing policies. The viability work has captured what we can deliver through affordable housing, so that presents in different parts of the borough how much affordable housing can come forward, as well as the delivery of rural exception dwellings and replacement dwellings, as well as the other sort of more development management required policies to help make decisions on planning applications. Design and infrastructure policies are shown here around delivering that high quality design and architecture, the landscaping for future developments and the infrastructure delivery, and then the connectivity around electronic communications, community facilities, and then touching back on climate change, the renewable and low energy, low carbon energy. We've got a rich environment here, and so that's represented by the list of policies, not least the Cannock Chase here about standard natural beauty and the internationally important Cannock Chase special area conservation, along with the more practical issues of delivering and protecting communities through appropriate development, keeping away from the flood risk areas, and then sustainable drainage, landscapes and urban trees, pollution and air quality. Finally, we have on the policy side, there are two policies relating to transport, parking and electric charges. And then finally, a whole series of appendices at the back of the document that provides more detail about the policies and provides more context. And the final slide is just to show the communications plan that we will be rolling out, which includes a whole parish council briefing here in early November, followed very quickly by an online event where there'll be a presentation in terms of, similar to this, in terms of the local plan preferred options. We will be sending out posters and documents for parishes to be able to raise awareness about the local plan preferred option, public exhibitions at these four locations so that officers can engage with the public and stakeholders on what is proposed, and then various press releases, library information, and website data. So with the whole idea is to reach as many communities as possible and make sure that people are engaged in the process and have an opportunity to respond. So with that, I'll finish with handing back to you, Chair, in terms of questions. And then hopefully we can answer anything now, or we will come back in due course. So Neil, Craig and myself will assist where we can in terms of answering any questions.
Thank you very much indeed, and thank you for that presentation, Alex. Now I have Councillor Sutherland and then Councillor Jones, who would like to make some points.
Thanks very much for the presentation. Just a query, really, on the number of houses. Excuse me. 10,700, was it? So between 2020 and 2040. Is that in addition to the North End of Stafford's growth, the current growth, and also to Burnley growth?
So what we've done is we've assessed how much has come forward through the existing plan period,
right.
And then we've rolled into the next plan period the amount that we think will come forward to those sites. So a proportion of those sites are taken into account as part of this new plan.
Okay, thank you.
Councillor Jones, I've got Councillor McNaughton and Councillor Nixon.
Can I just follow up on that question? Have you got a feel for what the total additional houses over and above what's out? Because as I understand it, the work that's not been started in relation to the existing 2011-2031 plan has been added to a figure for new houses for the 2020-2040 plan. So what is that total of new houses, roughly speaking?
So the total is about 4,500, of which 3,000 are identified at Meesbrook, and then the other 1,500 are identified across the other proposed sites, and that takes into account the existing commitments, including the allocations in the current plan and what might come forward, as well as what's being built in the last couple of years. So that just provides a very brief overview, but Neil has produced quite a detailed topic paper on housing and employment development, and so that will be published alongside the consultation material when it goes out in October. So you'll be able to see those detailed numbers and how they have been included within the plan, how they all relate.
Do you want to supplement that?
Thanks. Well, I've got two other questions, Chairman, if that's all right.
Okay.
So do I understand you right that you're saying over and above the 2011-2031, excluding Meesbrook, there's another 1,500 new houses to be built?
That's what's proposed through the plan, but there'll also be windfall.
That's a lot. I think in presentational terms, I think that's a lot easier than having a figure like 10,500, because that's quite a scary figure when you think of all the building that's taking place at the moment. Can I go on to the next?
Well, I think. Can I
interject, please? I think the bit which hasn't been said from the answer is that actually the plan is extended by 10 years. So if you look at the average number of houses being built, the additional number is relatively small.
Yes, I understand that. But I think in presentational terms, talking about an additional 10,700, I think is quite scary, and especially as you don't mean that. You really mean that you're introducing another 1,500 houses, excluding Meesbrook, that's not in the 2011-2031 plan.
So are you saying somewhat of a change in presentation might happen?
Yes, I think it's scary to talk 10,700.
When
you don't mean that it's 10,700 new.
Right.
So that's a communication.
Is it worthwhile taking that on board?
It is a communication issue. I understand what it means, but I think it will scare people, especially people driving down the A34 to Stafford, thinking, God, another 10,500 houses in Stafford, that's a lot. Why doesn't Method ever appear in employment land in this plan? I didn't see it at all on any of your maps.
So Bedford is one of the most developed sites,
but it's not mentioned in your report
in the Greenbelt. So it will fall within sort of the protected employment land policy 16. So we can provide that clarity within the plan itself.
You mentioned two sites on your presentation, but you didn't mention Methven.
I think Alex has just said you could try and provide some clarity on that, so yeah. It gets a mention.
And as far as the 8th of November meeting is concerned with parish councils, are you going to you'll presumably update it from anything that comes out of the cabinet meeting, but essentially the presentation on the 8th of November will be basically what we've seen tonight.
But it will reflect, obviously, the comments that are made tonight and also what comes out of Cabinet on Thursday.
So there could be some modifications.
Yes.
But your view would be that you'd hope that the core of it would be as we've seen it tonight.
Yes, as the preferred option itself, yeah.
Right. Now,
thank you, Chair.
Sorry, that's fine. Councillor Firth, you heard your hand.
I was just going to give the committee figures. Currently, the building requirements in the current plan is 500 homes a year. In future, based on this new plan, were it to be adopted, it's 535.
That's not scary.
No.
And that's why I say I think we've missed the boundary.
It's presentation, isn't it? Yeah. How one puts that over. Yeah,
I don't know why you want to terrify us with 10,700.
Trying to move us grey.
Right. Okay.
It's a bit late for me.
Now I've got two other people who want to get in now. There's Councillor McNaughton and Councillor Nixon. So Councillor McNaughton to begin with, and Councillor Nixon, who they've both been waiting very patiently.
Thank you, Chair. You talked about sustainable and energy efficient housing. Given the current climate crisis and the cost of energy crisis, can you tell me what you actually mean by energy efficient requirements? What are you going to, what would be the minimum sort of line? Are you talking about the sort of minimum insulation, heat pumps, electric charging pumps, cars, that sort of thing? Can you please explain? Because
Because
the houses we're building at the moment don't.
So at the moment there's a minimum requirement that's set through the building regulations. There's different parts relating to that. But this new policy is then looking to take that further. So as new developments come forward, then exactly they include those requirements as you mentioned. But I mean, I'm happy for Neil or Councillor Beattie to be involved through you, Chair.
I was simply going to say that there are government standards that we will be looking to meet, which we have under the existing plan, the BM standards and housing codes for life and so on. But what I'd like to see is that we aim for the excellent rather than the average, and that will be something that we address in this plan.
But through you, Chair, particularly given the energy crisis.
Yeah. Just to explain, so in June of this year, the development building regulations for homes in terms of their thermal efficiency and the target emissions rate, which measures how much carbon produced in terms of carbon emissions, was made much stricter. So there was a 35% improvement on the previous edition, the 2014 version of the building regulations. But the government has said that we can, and the government intends to make that stricter again in 2025. But the government has said that local authorities can go further. As far as I'm aware, none has successfully yet, because this is only recent change. But Cornwall Council is in the process of an examination, and so this policy is effectively going as far as any council in the country is pushing to what Cornwall are trying to do. In terms of the energy efficiency of not just residential buildings but also commercial buildings. So and because Cornwall are breaking ground, it's not 100% clear that this kind of policy will be accepted by the planning inspectorate. But as we're at the initial consultation stage, we thought the direction from cabinet was to push as far as we can, basically.
Okay, thank you very much indeed. Councillor Nixon.
I've got a couple, but I can come again.
Should we have come? He's a gentleman, you see.
My second question was about the green spaces. Are they linked? Because there's no point in having biodiversity if you can't move around, because it just swallows it up. and it kills it off eventually anyway. So are they linked? Is there a clear plan to have these biodiversity spaces, green spaces linked clearly?
Yes, in short, there is. So the what we've shown on the maps, the strategic green network, which flows through Stafford and Stone, and then within that we've got the countryside enhancement areas, and then the various local green spaces that link to that. And the if you step back from to sort of the borough perspective, we actually did some nature recovery network mapping at the issues and options stage. And so by looking at those maps, you can see how the networks through Stafford and Stone then link across to the whole of the borough in order to exactly do what you say, which is to support habitat, species and biodiversity mapping.
Councillor Dixon, you've been very, very patient. Full marks of patience. The floor's yours now.
Yeah, I'm glad we've clarified the point around the 10,700 new homes, because even 500 homes a year, 500 park homes a year, is still a significant sub houses being built. In terms of the 3,000 homes that you're proposing beyond 2040 of Eastbrook, where do you envisage those 3,000 additional homes going?
So they would be all within the red line boundary that's shown within the plan that we're putting on the table at the preferred options. So that there is capacity within that red line to deliver the 6,000. But what we have to be careful about is to be quite clear in this plan that the 3,000 will be delivered, obviously with the supporting infrastructure, with the plan review beyond 2040 picking up the other 3,000.
Yeah, and so do we believe that the infrastructure investments that would be required once those 3,000 houses have been developed there?
Yeah, so the infrastructure investment would need to obviously come forward as part of that initial stage of 3,000, but it would support the overall 6,000. So that's where we've got sort of the justification in terms of the new railway station, schools, health centres, and all the rest of it.
Yeah. And then in terms of, I like your engagement model. I might have missed it, but I do think in terms of this proposal, there needs to be a lot of engagement with things like the NHS, the local commissioning group, those statutory organisations, given that, health services in under such strain, are they being consulted as part of this plan?
Yes, they are. There's a whole host of statutory organisations, both through the what's called the duty to cooperate, but also other key partners that will be consulted on as part of this process. But in addition to that, we've already reached out to key partners to get information in on the local plan in order to then produce its preferred options across education, transport and utilities as well as health. So we've done our very best to try and capture as much information as we possibly can that's out there to support this preferred option.
Right. Okay. Now I've got three members in the queue. Councillor Edgler, Councillor Hobbs and Councillor McNaughton. Councillor Edgler.
Thank you very much, Chairman. My question really is about consultation. Bearing in mind, you talked to us about parish councils, and bearing in mind, again, the Stafford town area hasn't got any parish councils, apart from Doxey. So my question to you is, will you take on board the community groups? Because we've got a very large one in the north of town, we've got a very large one in the south of town. So will they be consulted as well, or how will you go about that? So,
that's a very important point, which is why we're having the engagement event, the consultation event in Stafford, and there's actually going to be on a weekend, on a Saturday, to try and get as many people involved and coming along, as well as the online event that obviously is unrestricted in terms of the number of people that can attend that and ask any questions, which we can then we will then group into topics and answer as many as we can during that event. But we will also update our frequently asked questions, which is already on our website, afterwards to try and engage with the community that way. So once the consultation starts, it's going to be a live, moving consultation right the way through the 7 weeks that it's taking place.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks. Now we've got Councillor Hobbs.
I just wanted to clarify what Leon was saying. Did you say that? I thought I heard you say that councils weren't building sustainable housing.
Should I respond?
Yes, please.
So the baseline for the sustainability requirements for housing is in the National State Building Regulations. Yeah. Councils are allowed to, through their planning, local plans, set more stringent policies.
Mm-hmm.
So far, because the national standard and the building regulations just got more stringent, no mm-hmm. councils have yet had a plan adopted that sets a more stringent standard than that, but they can. And Cornwall going first is what I was saying, and we're trying to follow in their wake. We're trying to be one of the first authorities to go beyond the national standard.
Okay. Because they are building, local authorities are finding ways to build sustainable housing in Norwich, South Yorkshire, Doncaster, within Bristol, Bournemouth, you know, so all over the country they're beginning to build. Local authorities are taking responsibility and allowing the building of sustainable housing.
Councillor, but do you want to, is it, yeah, it's related
the point
to that?
The made is it's mandatory rather than voluntary.
Yes, I understand that, but would it be worth us thinking about...
Through the chair, please, Councillor Hobbs.
Sorry.
Councillor.
But, it might be worth us thinking about ways of actually taking this forward.
Let's see. Okay.
I think Neil's got an answer for the agenda.
Neil, do you want to come back on that?
So I think that we're perhaps talking at slightly cross purposes, because what this plan does is set the standard for any house built in the borough, irrespective of who's building it. I think what you're talking about is the local authority house building, which is a slightly different point and not something that's touched on in this plan. Yeah.
Okay. So that slight bit of confusion's ironed out, I think. Yeah. Good. Councillor McNaughton, and then I've got Councillor Trowbridge, Councillor McKeown, Councillor Kenyon, and that's it. Yeah, for the moment.
Thank you very much, Chair. Given the last 10 days and the turbulence in the mortgage market, and with interest rates soaring, and you're talking about affordable housing, it's way beyond many people, particularly in rural areas, to even afford affordable housing. So how much of social housing is planned within these proposals?
Social housing.
Okay, so social housing, affordable housing, is housing that's delivered through registered providers mainly, to enable people to have a home that wouldn't normally be able to through the open market. And so what this plan does is identifies a percentage of how much affordable housing could come forward in different parts of the borough. We've carefully looked at not only the need, but also what's viable within the plan on the back of new developments in order to come up with that percentage. So the preferred options is doing as much as it can, taking into account all the other infrastructure requirements that are needed as part of the package of delivering a robust plan to bring forward affordable housing across the borough. There are other sort of forms of affordable housing that can come forward, not just through new development, but also through some sort of funding grant, any sort of funding from government or private. Private sector support, changing housing that way, but mainly it's going to be in the future through, as you say, through the plan.
Okay, Councillor Trowbridge.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Thank you, Alex, for a huge amount of work obviously goes into this, but you've talked about green and blue infrastructure, you've talked about green belts, outstanding natural beauty, and even the carbon, joining up of the carbon free. You haven't talked about any new spaces for sports and leisure. Now, I know people have put land up for sports, so does this come into it anywhere or not?
Yes, so there's a policy within the town in terms of open space sports and recreation to exactly do what you're saying, which is to look at the strategies that the committee were talking about in the previous item, and then making sure that the local plan through new development is providing the ability to be able to meet those requirements, be that if it's possible on site as part of new developments, depending on the scale, but if not on site, through off-site developer contributions through the chair. So that's what this plan is looking to continue, what the adopted plan already seeks to do.
So it should help us, Alex, to do some sort of strategic thinking about sport and leisure, and some joined up thinking as well, so we get we get stuff where we want it rather than where it just happens to be, and we can do some planning on that. Yeah, that's going to be really vital, actually. Councillor McKeown.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and through you to Alex. From your statement, it would appear that the former key service villages are not going to be targeted for any great increase in numbers of housing. Those key service villages, most of whom will have drawn up a neighbourhood plan by now, is there still a role for the neighbourhood plans to evolve if there's going to be no more push for development in those communities, apart from No Source and Woods Eaves? Yeah. I mean, basically, do neighbourhood plan groups really need to meet again and review their neighbourhood plan, even though there may not be pressure to accommodate housing?
Well, for you, John, what I think is important is that the parish councils in the neighbourhood plan groups look at what's in this preferred option for their particular areas, and provide views on what's proposed, and then obviously if those neighbourhood plan areas, those parishes, don't agree with the preferred option and actually want to go for more growth in their communities, then there is that ability for the neighbourhood plan to say, well, actually, for our particular village, the local plan doesn't identify any new housing sites and allocations, but in fact we want more. And so that, in that context, there is the ability for the neighbourhood plans groups to come back to the table and say, well, we can see what your new plan is doing, but actually we want to update our neighbourhood plan to release more land. So there is always that door is always left open for parishes to do that if they wish.
Thank Thanks very much indeed. Councillor Kenny.
Can I just follow on from that? Because
it's linked, yeah. Okay.
I think the point needs to be very clear that the Leesbrook project will take time to come forward, and there's going to be a need for housing per annum to meet our annual needs, and therefore we can't sort of sit back and say, oh, we won't need any housing until Leesbrook comes on board. Is still going to be there. So in answer to the neighbourhood plan issue, the fulfilment of housing requirements under neighbourhood plans is going to be quite important, I think. And perhaps even for those parishes that haven't come forward with their plans yet.
Okay, I'll take that point about the time lag before certain things come on stream, yeah. Councillor Kenny.
Yeah, for you, Chair. Development strategy 1.3. In addition to the borough's own housing need, the development strategy also allows for 2,000 homes as a contribution to meeting unmet needs from other authorities in the region. That those homes are subject to ongoing negotiations with other authorities. And 1.4 goes on to say, is it intended that any unmet housing need from other authorities will be delivered at Meeting Gardens community? What does this mean?
Can I ask, what are you talking about? Because we haven't got that number here.
Well, I'm looking at the development strategy, climate change, and climate change response.
So on this...
This is within the plan.
Have you got it, Alex?
That's going to ask the paragraph number, Councillor.
Sorry?
The paragraph number, Councillor.
1.3.
1.3.
Okay, yeah, thank you. So the council has an obligation, if you like, to engage with other authorities within the and its neighbours within what's called this to duty to cooperate context. And what we're aware of is that there are other authorities that we in the sub-region that aren't able to meet their needs, and so what our plan needs to do is acknowledge that actually we're not an island, that there are other authorities that require some need to be met, and at least having a conversation with them through this preferred option consultation exercise, and say, well, what is your position? Where are things at? Where are you at? And is there something that needs to be done between us to facilitate those overall needs? Sure. But it's something that our council needs to consider quite carefully, and obviously we'll be coming back with the results of those sort of that engagement for the next stage.
So what is actually proposed here is not 10,700 houses; it's possibly 12,700.
No, it's the other way around. So it's the 8,700 is what's coming through the local need, but then another 2,000, which takes us up to 10,700, is essentially coming through that.
If we unmet our need, would they reciprocate?
Well, again, it's a theoretical sort of discussion, but it's something that we would need to talk to other authorities if we were in that position, and they would need to talk to us to make sure that the overall requirements are met. So it's just identifying this sort of cooperation that needs to take place.
Do you anticipate cooperation, Alex?
Well, we've got a legal requirement to do it. And so I know that Neil and I will be very much looking forward to the first day of the examination, because at the examination, one of the first questions that the inspector will ask is, have you met your duty to cooperate requirements, Mr. Yendol? Mm-hmm. So what I'll need to do is I'll need to show not only that we've had meetings, but actually documentation that can demonstrate that we've had that active engagement and try to sort out these cross-border strategic issues together. And when we've already had approaches from authorities at the last stage in terms of us engaging in that process, so we do actually have to have that active.
So it's 2,000. How did you get to that figure? Why is it 2,000 and not 1,000?
Neil can help me with this, but there's the 2,000 is a figure that was identified through a previous consultation that we needed to at least reflect on, and so that's why it's put into this document here. But it also supports delivering the overall sort of growth requirements for the borough of the 535 per year, 535 houses per year. So that figure of 2,000 is included within that 535 per year, so it's 100 per year.
Right, okay.
Okay. Right, okay. Now we've got Councillor McNaughton.
Thank you, Chair. You mentioned in your presentation about that you'd had you secured gypsy sites or not, because I know that it's been an ongoing problem to find anywhere. I know the money's available and they keep looking, but you haven't been able to secure. Did you say that you had secured those sites or you were looking at those sites?
Thank you, through you, Chair. So two gypsy sites have actually been put forward to us by the landowners and developers within the borough. One is at Hopton for at least 15 pitches, and another one is for 10 pitches near Amerton Farm on the road towards Uttoxeter. So our gypsy requirement is for 23 pitches, and we've actually been provided with sites that can deliver 25 pitches. So yes, the sites are identified. They have been supported by the landowners, and that's why they're included in the plan. And all the other sites, I should say, all the other proposed allocations and sites in this plan, they've all been put forward by the landowners and developers as part of that call for sites exercise.
Right. Any other comments, questions, members? Well, if silent, then I'd like to ask something. Alex, this is a massive undertaking. Local plan really is. It seems pretty huge. At the same time, you've got Stafford Station project going on. You've got Meathbrook project going on. Do we have the capacity to actually deal with all this, and what are we going, if we haven't got the capacity or projected capacity, what are we doing about it? You've got the capacity.
Through you, Chair, yes, I mean, we feel we've got the right capacity in terms of people,
right,
and the resources to do the job. Obviously, my role is to ensure that we do deliver to the Council's objectives,
okay,
and meet the requirements of the portfolio holders I'm responsible for. Obviously, I've only been here for about 6 months now, excuse me, and I'm confident that we've got the quality of staff as well, which is important. But my job is obviously to monitor things and make sure that if that isn't the case, then I report that through the members. And we talk about serious things such as resourcing going forward.
Right.
But I'm confident that we can deliver what we're.
So at present, you're perfectly confident about that. It's okay. Right.
But can I just add to that, Chairman? It's also true to say that in some senses these are ring-fenced projects, and they are funded to include the staffing that's required to deliver them. So whether it's Meathbrook or the Gateway or so on, there will be staffing made available as part of the administration contribution. So I'm confident that we've got the staffing, and I agree that they're excellent.
Fine. I just think it's important that we as councillors should be able to seek those assurances, and you've given them. So thanks very much. Any other comments at all, members, questions? I don't want to milk you. Quite happy for us to go home. So can I say thank you very much, Alex, for the presentation. Thank you to all the officers for all the work you've put into this and into the previous topics that we had. Members, thank you very much for all the comments, questions, probing, as they were. Thank you for that. Now, we've got a note.
Yeah.
So
those will be fed back to Cabinet as well.
They are going to be fed back to Cabinet. Next meeting, Cabinet?
Yes. Thursday?
On Thursday.
Thursday.
I thought for a moment.
Yes.
Changing. Right, so on Thursday. But they will be fed back. Meanwhile, we note this as well, don't we, Andrew? So there we are. Thank you very much indeed, everyone. Thank you for letting me off lightly. See you at the next meeting. Well, I may not see you. Jack will be back.